It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Donna Hughes with StoneX. We'll talk markets in just a moment. Well, Dr. Michael Langemeyer and Dr. Jim Mintert are at Purdue University at the Center for Commercial Agriculture, and recently we're looking at changes to input prices over the past 12 months and talking about the meaning behind percentage increases in particular.
Whenever I see a big number on a percentage change chart like this, I think it's always useful to think about what that means.
Yes.
So if a percentage change in inflation or the price of an input like anhydrous, if it was 100, that means it had doubled. So at 144.5, yeah, it's gone up 1.5 times relative to what it was last year.
And depending when you look at that year to year, you can find periods in that February, March period was actually triple.
Yeah.
This chart is showing more than double.
Yeah.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Donna Hughes. Donna is Senior Risk Management Consultant with StoneX, and she's in Abilene, Texas. Donna, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be here with you.
Okay. What is, for those who don't know about StoneX, what is our elevator speech for StoneX?
The 90-second elevator speech. We are a commodity risk group that also has equities arm, so we do deal with stock accounts. We have grain merchandising, livestock merchandising, foreign currency clearing. We just have a variety of different divisions that handle different types of businesses, and we are worldwide. We are across the globe from the U.S. Out to Singapore.
The cotton market, it has really caught fire and has been able to stay above a dollar, dollar and a quarter for quite some time. What's happening with the cotton market? Are we going to see it maybe start giving back some of those gains?
You know, we have seen contract values fall off from the most recent highs, and you know, we've had a lot of different things pressuring cotton in the near term. There was a lot of investor money that had been funneled into the markets, and that does drive the action on any one day. And also, you know, as far as the front month July contract goes, you know, we're looking at physical business that goes on, you know, the mills, how much they're able to extend themselves in buying and all. And so, you know, we've kind of got two different scenarios that we're watching at this time with the front-end July contract, and then also what could be happening with the December contract as producers are planting or considering acres for this year's cotton.
Now, again, there's a lot going on here. We can talk about the cotton itself, the fiber, but it faces some competition from man-made sources as well, and those are usually tied back to petroleum. And gosh, I know you didn't mention oil, but we've seen real strength in the oil market and the energy markets as well. Does any of that kind of work together as we talk about markets, just keeping an eye on what's going on in outside markets like energies?
Absolutely. Like you had touched on, you know, these synthetic fibers, you know, they're tied back to the crude oil market. And so with that being competition for cotton, you know, of course, when crude oil is trending higher, generally we do see cotton supported by that type of action. One other thing that we've had as of late is, you know, with the higher trending prices in cotton, some of the end users are going more towards those synthetic fibers. And so, you know, we've seen kind of a push and pull in regard to that.
Let's swing over to some of the other row crops. We've seen, wow, a lot of volatility in the wheat market. And really, we were seeing that volatility in the wheat market before the Ukrainian-Russian situation began. And it looks like that volatility might be here to at least stay for a while. Is that a correct assessment, you think?
I would imagine, we're gonna see volatility in wheat for a while. Yes, prior to the Ukrainian-Russian deal, I mean, we were basically hearing about production issues, across the globe, and then with Russia's invasion of Ukraine and what they have done to basically shut off those ports, in Ukraine, it's kind of exacerbated, what we already knew. And as we're coming into harvest in the northern hemispheres, we see countries like France downgrading their wheat conditions. We know what the situation is here in the U.S. And so we're looking to see where the excess might come from if we do have production shortages in the major exporters. India was one country that we were looking to globally to try to make up for some of that Ukrainian shortage. And, unfortunately, they've had weather problems. And, it came to the point where, consideration for downgrading total volumes exported or, shutting off exports. I mean, that's something that's been considered, globally with many countries around the world, as we get into what, is looking to be like a, a food crisis in regard to grains.
And you mentioned Northern Hemisphere, and it makes me think of a couple of the other crops we watch pretty closely. That's corn and soybeans. And though we've got dry conditions west of the Mississippi, for the most part, there are exceptions there. When you move back to the east, they're dealing with a completely different problem. Is that starting to make its way into those grain and oilseed markets?
With the rainfall and cooler temperatures that we had during most of this planting season, some of these areas, have definitely experienced problems with getting the crop in or getting it in late in regard to corn. And, so with that, there's thought that we could either see more soybean acres or other alternatives as far as crops go. The other concern is that, as the crop develops, specifically corn, depending on what weather does, over the growing season, those crops that went in late, if we get a lot of hot temperatures, hot, dry temperatures, that could affect yield greatly. And, USDA's trend line that they're predicting for this year, that's the question. If those conditions do occur, are we going to be able to meet that trend line on shortage of corn acres?
We haven't even talked about the challenge. I mean, we're talking about we are talking about supply side here and prices, but we haven't even talked about the challenge of input prices. And with the high fertilizer prices, could we see producers backing off on fertilizer use and maybe instead of putting 100% of what they normally would, putting 50 to 75%? That obviously could affect the yield at the end of the season. Is that anything that people are talking about at this point?
Oh, definitely. And that is a good point. It's a major point, this year with prices and also the availability of those products. We've heard of producers, either cutting back or, not using the additives that they would have otherwise. And so, definitely there's going to be some adjustments made. And, with that, crop development surely would be affected.
Okay, Donna, we've covered, no pun intended, quite a bit of ground here. And we started the conversation with StoneX and who StoneX is. We didn't talk about some of the things that you do with StoneX, though. You have some daily requirements and some things that you offer to customers and non-customers alike. I'm talking about some email products, right?
Yes, I have a daily newsletter that I publish in the morning. It covers grains, cotton, livestock, and a little bit of the equities markets. It's a newsletter that comes directly to your email, and there's no charge for it. And basically what we're trying to do is we're trying to support the educational side for producers and investors with the commodity markets. Offers a rundown of what's happened in the overnights and what we're looking at coming into the day sessions, and offers up some suggestions for hedging and for speculative trades.
We have about a minute left here, and I'm glad you brought in the equities here. Obviously, a minute's not enough time to really hit on the equity side of this, but is the fact that we're experiencing some really high inflation and a lot of volatility in those equity markets, is that going to play a role for the rest of this year?
You know, I think it will. You know, we've seen a lot of different type of action with the equities as of late. You know, for someone who follows equities versus commodities, you know, a lot of times there's transition in investments when people are funneling out of equities. They may funnel into term alternative investments such as commodities or other products. And we were seeing a good deal of that going on for a while, but it seems like, you know, things have kind of evened out in that way. And, equities still remain volatile. You know, we've hit some levels that we haven't seen for a while on the low side. You know, inflation is here. The FOMC still has some things that they're going to be doing down the road with interest rates. That's something that producers are very concerned about, obviously, with, you know, capital investments and loans and all. One thing I would like to mention is that StoneX does have products available to help mitigate the risk on those interest rate swings on loans. So that's something new as well that we're able to offer out to producers.
And if we want to find StoneX on the web, how do we do that?
Just go to StoneX.com, and there's all the information there that you need, everything about commodities and what we can do for you.
She's the Senior Risk Management Consultant for StoneX, Donna Hughes, on today's Agribusiness Report.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate Digital Agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
Once in a while, a product comes along that completely reinvents its category. Introducing the Rogator C-Series professional-grade self-propelled sprayer from Challenger. Its advanced yet simple solutions deliver ultra-precise crop application, save time, and make you money. We call it intelligent farming. You can call it the new benchmark in professional application. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, our special guest today, Donna Hughes with StoneX.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
It's the Agribusiness Report. You can keep up with StoneX online, StoneX.com.
The future you want for your farming operation is out there, but it begins with unlocking the potential to control your growing environment. Introducing Momentum from Fendt, a new planting system that senses planting conditions in real time and responds with real answers. That yield, that success, you'll find it with Momentum. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Why sorghum?
I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Increases in both categories of USDA's latest topsoil moisture and condition rating indicates
the drier areas are getting drier and the moist areas are getting wetter.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says for the period ending May 22nd,
nationally 31% topsoil moisture rated very short to short, and then on the other side, 12% surplus. That is up 2 points on the surplus. That is up 3 points on the very short to short rating.
He adds topsoil moisture in a majority of the Great Plain and Rocky Mountain states remain at 50% or more very short-to-short topsoil moisture rating. Meanwhile, the Midwest reports 5 states with a surplus topsoil moisture rating of between 20 to 40%.
Led by Minnesota at 38%, Ohio 36%, and North Dakota at 33%. And with more rain on the way, those numbers could go up for next week.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.